Well, go ahead if you have your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. And while you're doing that, I will tell you a story of a man who had just finished reading a book called Man of the House. And after he read this book, he decided that there should be some changes in his house. And so he went to his wife and in a very commanding tone said, "From now on, there's going to be some changes. You are going to serve me. And each day when I get home from work, one of the things you will do is I expect this house to be spotless. I want everything put in its place. I want it to be clean and smelling fresh. And you will also cook. You will cook my dinner for me and prepare for me an incredible gourmet meal, maybe five courses each and every night. And then you will give me a wonderful dessert that I will just enjoy. And you will turn back my bed and put little chocolates on the pillows and heat my covers. And you will give me foot massages at my request. And then when I get up in the morning, you will have a cup of hot coffee waiting for me. You will prepare for me a lavish breakfast. Then you will draw my bath. And then guess who is going to dress me?" His wife replied, "The funeral director." On that note, let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, I do thank you for the morning. We thank you for this time of worship, God. We thank you for your word of truth and what we will learn from it this morning about wives. Lord, we thank you too for, Rod mentioned, just for the healing that you've done in Jim's life and just letting him be with us this morning. I know it hasn't been easy the last few days and he has had some pain. We ask, Lord, that you would give relief to him and just encourage him, God, and that things would go well for he and Dolores as he recuperates. And Father, we just thank you for our church family, and we thank you for all those that are here that are visiting us today. Father, may they hear your word of truth and the gospel, Lord. And we just lift this time up to you, that you would open our hearts and our minds to understand, Lord, with conviction what your truth says to our wives. And we just ask this in your son's name. Amen. I was thinking this morning that it's interesting. I did not have any problem going through our last three and just, you know, beating the guys up and giving them a good whack. And we said taking them out behind the woodshed. And I was included in that. Because as I'm preparing for these teaching times, of course, it's affecting me too. And we hammered the guys pretty hard. But there's something about standing up here and telling you wives about submission that just kind of puts the fear into you, you know. But alas, it is God's Word. It is God's Word. And hopefully we will come to better understand God's Word and what exactly His Word is saying to us. And it's interesting because we, you know, told the little story beforehand and all had a good laugh at it. Yet, oftentimes, these are images and things that come to mind when you start talking about a wife submitting to her husband. And often the problem is there's a picture that people have in their minds of a cruel, uncaring, demanding taskmaster husband that has little thought or feeling for his wife, but somebody who only wants attention paid to his own interests, and that the constant duty of his wife is to serve him. The image in mind is that she is seen often as being inferior to her husband or by him and treated with very little dignity, basically taking on the role of a slave to cater to his every whim or wish and desire. Now, some of you guys might be thinking, "Hey, that sounds pretty good." Don't even go there, guys. Don't even let yourselves think that. The wife is not loved, not honored, not lived with in an understanding way. She feels oppressed, maybe, used and abused, and that the whole of her existence is wrapped up in serving this monster of a man known as her husband. And again, this is sometimes some of the thoughts, the connotations, the mindset out there when we start talking about a wife's submission. When in reality, nothing could be further from the truth. according to God's design for the marriage relationship as we find in His Word. And yet, again, this is the image that often does come to mind. And why? Well, there have been times when that has been true. There have been husbands that have not loved and cared for their wives in the proper way, the way that God has prescribed in His Word. And, you know, I would just preface all of this to say that if you're here for the first time today, we had three sermons prior to this where we dealt with the husbands. We've been going through a series here on God's design for the family, and we've been talking about the role of men and the role of women and a wife's role and a husband's role, but we're just now getting to the wife's role. And so that you don't misunderstand things or take things out of context, I would highly recommend that you get some CDs off our back table to take you through the last three or four or five or whatever amounts of sermons that we've had. But we've, like I said, taken the husbands out behind the woodshed the last 3 weeks and told them what they may be doing, what they might be doing wrong, and what they need to be doing to be loving their wives in a godly and proper way. And so we are here at in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. And this is our normal text of going through Colossians, but then we've been using that as kind of a springboard to hit some other texts that deal specifically with marriage and husbands and wives and other places. But Colossians 3, 18 to 21, Paul writes this: "Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart." And again, I know the wives come first there. We dealt with the husbands first, however, and now we are jumping back to the wives so that, again, we can see what God's design for a godly wife is. And again, so far we've kind of examined in detail. Excuse me for a sec. We've talked about the two purposes of marriage. We've talked about what constitutes a marriage and a family. Again, this is biblically speaking. We've talked about the role of the husband as the head or leader of his family. And part of the point of that is that he is responsible. He is responsible to God for how he leads his wife and his children. We talked about the role of the husband in relation to husbands need to love their wives. They're commanded to do so. And they're commanded to do it sacrificially, that they are giving up of themselves in doing so. They are to also sanctify or be the spiritual leader of their wives. They're to help grow their wives in godliness and with the Word. And see, as you love yourself, husbands, you are to love your wives, and that they are to nourish them and cherish them. And this brings us to the wives. And again, I recognize that this message today, well, one, it's not just for the wives, it's for everybody, like we said with the husbands. If you're a wife out there, this is certainly for you. If you are a somebody who might be a wife someday, this is for you. If you're a youth, this is for you. And of course, this is for all husbands, because you need to understand what the wife's calling is, and you need to be able to pray for her. So basically, it's for everybody. Or maybe you know somebody, again, who's going to be a husband or a wife someday, and you can impart some godly wisdom to them. Then you need to hear this message. And husbands, now it's your turn. Remember the game rules, right? No elbows, that's right. No glances at your wife like, are you listening to this? You know, what? None of those. You keep your focus straight forward and your elbows clamped down to your sides, okay? So, we're going to go back here to 3:18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now, again, I realize that telling wives they need to be subject to their husbands, and in other texts in scriptures to submit to their husbands, is about as popular today as having gangrene or some other infectious disease, all right? I know it's not a popular topic. Many women today don't like to be told that they have to submit to their husbands. They believe this to be some archaic practice from a different time in history, such as the Bible times, or maybe even the 1950s, or somewhere else in between, or they view it as being a custom or a way of life somewhere else, but not here in the good old United States of America. No, we have freedoms and we have rights here that maybe other places don't have. They also thank God for the women's liberation movement. Now, I've talked a little bit about this a few weeks back, and so I'm not going to make too many comments on that. You could get the CD before. But we did mention, and I would suggest to you, that this movement has done much damage by way of good towards the biblical family. Now, not to say that there haven't been some good things to come out of it, women voting, for instance. And I'm not saying that there weren't some positives. But in the end, it seems that there has been much damage done to that biblical family, because more and more women have, say, opted for careers over even raising children, or they want to have their cake and eat it too, and often children get shipped off to be raised by daycare facilities so that families can have their big houses and their toys and whatnot. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that there aren't situations or cases where, you know, a family is doing everything they can to scrimp and save, and maybe in some cases both parents are working. But in this case, sometimes where it's wanting to just, well, we want to have all of the finer things of life, but they're doing it at the expense of their marriage. They're doing it at the expense of the kids. Also, we've seen the divorce rate skyrocketed from this movement, where single-parent families have become the norm. Husbands are no longer often the leaders of their families. Sometimes they abdicate their leadership, as we said, and sometimes there are wives that are very domineering wives that kind of take the leadership on. The feminist movement has done everything it can to direct women to do the opposite of what God commands in His Word, and especially where wives are concerned, and especially where submission is concerned. Now, this being said, when we talk of submission, we need to kind of define this here and make sure that we understand what this means. Does this mean that women should be treated as inferior to men? No. Should they be like second-class citizens? No. Should women be oppressed or bullied or abused, either physically or emotionally? Absolutely not. Should husbands act like dictators or taskmasters, ordering their wives around to fulfill their every desire? No, of course not. Should wives be treated like slaves or servants? No, we would say. To all of these, again, we say a resounding no. Are they spiritually different than men in God's eyes? No. Do they have any less value or worth to God? No. They were both made in the image of God, with the same essence, the same nature, the same intellect, and have equal status regarding salvation and the ability to bring glory to God. But they are physically different, certainly. And they are functionally different, as we've already started to see in the Scriptures. So those are important things to remember, gang. You know, because submission, to many gals, it's like a four-letter word. And yet submission is something that occurs quite naturally in life. We have situations of submission all the time. Employees, even women, employees, submit to employers and the hires up, you know, over them. Or some, we've mentioned here before, sports people in professional situations, when even non-professional situations, you know, they submit to coaches or managers. Students submit to teachers. Teachers to school boards or principals. Citizens submit to their government on a city, on a county, on a state, federal level, what have you. We are a society of submission. Again, think of the military. It operates on submission. And it's funny because in many ways, we're all agreeable to most of these things until you tell a wife that she must submit to her husband. And then you have the breaks. Wait a minute. I will not. I am my own person. Nobody tells me what to do. I have rights as a woman. And you think that they heard that they were going to have to wear some skimpy revealing outfit while they fanned their men and fed them grapes as part of a harem. But that is, again, nothing but further from the truth. So again, yes, we need to answer this question. What is biblical submission for a wife? And we go back to our Colossians text here, 3:18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And this word for subject literally means to be placed in order. And it also does mean to submit. Whereas we have looked at the headship of the husband, the command for him to lead his family, the wife's role then is to follow her husband's lead and to place herself under his authority. And remember, folks, the husband is the one God holds responsible for leading and loving his family in a godly way. Listen to how the complete word dictionary of the New Testament defines submission. It says, quote, "There are designated functions for a husband and a wife which man cannot change because God has ordained them. Any endeavor to effect change will bring frustration, vanity, and emptiness. God has made one woman to become a wife to one man, and she is so constituted by God himself. But this is not due to her being inferior to her husband, for they are both equal before God. It is a willing, personal subjection demonstrated in Ephesians 5:21, which says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The word translated one to another is indicating equality of all concerned. They continue, in society, all humans, all men and women in various positions of leadership or following independence are equal. Yet their functions vary and their responsibilities are diverse. We are all equal before God and the laws of society, and yet we have varying functions and responsibilities. If we accept certain functions under a fellow human, we must subject ourselves to that individual to accomplish a common goal. So it is with a wife placing herself in the proper and divinely fitted position under her husband. The functions are equally important, although different. And they are different not because we want them to be, but because God made them to be so." End quote. So, you know, one way that this could also practically play out in a family, too, is consider when a decision needs to be made. It's not that a husband kind of discards his wife's input or goes to her to seek her counsel or her wisdom. He absolutely should. He should consult with his wife, and they should talk about an issue together. Maybe it's of a financial nature, or maybe it's of child-raising nature, or what have you. But at the end of the day, it will be the husband that will make the final decision, again, knowing that he is the one held responsible by God for his decision. The wife isn't held responsible by the Lord for those things, but the man is. So he has a very daunting task, and one that he needs to take and do with extreme care. And yes, he should absolutely. You are one flesh with your wife, and it would be important to get your wife's input on matters. We also see God's command for submission in multiple places in the Scriptures, such as Ephesians 5:22, where it says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord." And this means that as wives submit themselves to their husbands, they are ultimately submitting themselves to the Lord. That is a part of what they are doing in that. Titus 2:5 is talking to wives, where Paul writes, "To be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands." And then he gives this little phrase at the end here, "so that the word of God will not be dishonored." Now, isn't that interesting? Meaning, if wives are not submitting to their husbands, then they are dishonoring the word of God. 1 Peter 3:1, we were in that text a bit last week, and we're going to come back to it again this week. Peter writes, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands." And then in verse 5, "Holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." Talking about previous holy women. And then they go on to give an example, such as Sarah with Abraham. And again, we'll have more on Peter in a few minutes. But back in Colossians 3:18, we have this phrase, "Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord." And we might ask ourselves, well, what does that mean? Well, what's he talking about there? Well, this word for fitting means what is right or what is proper. And so this phrase takes us all the way back to God's initial design of marriage, which we find where? In Genesis. We've already been through all of this. That wives are to subject or submit themselves to their husbands because God has designed it that way. Why? Well, in a nutshell, for the good of the marriage relationship and certainly for His glory. Now remember the wife, going back to Genesis 2, 18 and 20, she was made after Adam, she was made from Adam, she was made to be named by Adam, she was to be a helpmate for Adam. And what is the purpose of marriage again? Well, we learned in a previous message, for the husband, with the help of his wife, to subdue, populate, and rule over the earth. And also that the marriage relationship, the marriage union, and this is really important, would be a picture to the world of Christ's love for His church. And we saw that in Ephesians, that our marriage relationship is to model to the world how Christ loved His church and gave Himself up for her. And the best way that God decided for this to happen is by creating a relationship of leading and submitting. Remember, too, that the husband is not the king of his castle. He is not the ruler of his domain, contrary to what he might think. Christ is. Christ is. Christ is the foundation there. And Christ Himself, as we've seen in other scriptures, He submits Himself to who? The Father. So again, it doesn't end with the husband. He's not kind of like, yeah, I'm top dog, I'm leader. What? No, 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 no. There's Christ and the Father over him. Now, if you're not tracking with me at this point, or you are sitting there thinking this preacher is off his rocker, then, well, you just, again, need to go back and get those CDs and listen to them, because I know it can be difficult when hearing it out of context. But most importantly, and if you hear one thing, hear this today, okay? This is extremely important, and everybody needs to understand this, husbands and wives. But a wife submitting to her husband is not a man-made thing. It is not some conspiracy, ladies, that a bunch of guys or husbands came up with so that they could dominate and oppress their wives and force them to do everything that they want them to do. No, this blueprint for submission is from God Himself. It is His sovereign will for things to work this way. So thankfully, really thankfully, I don't have to stand up here and tell you this neat idea that I came up with for women to be subject to their husbands, or that some other guys came up with. I can stand up here and say, this is what the Word of God says. God has come up with it. God has designed it. God commands it. So if any lady has a problem with it, then you need to take it up with God. But don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what He says. All right, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter 3, 1-6. Again, this is kind of one of the classic texts on marriage in the Bible, and we dealt with it last week in regards to husbands in verse 7. But we're going to look back at the top there, chapter 3, verse 1. And actually, I'm going to read verses 1-6 because we're going to do half of it today, and we'll do the other half next week. It says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. So today and next week, wives, you will see from this text that Peter gives you two basic commands. Submit to your husband, and number two, adorn yourselves with a gentle and quiet spirit. Now let's look at this point number one. This is where we'll be for the rest of our time. Wives, you're commanded to submit to your husbands. Going back to verse 1, we have this phrase that we dealt with last week, in the same way. And if you were here last week, you know that we went back and saw that this in the same way actually goes all the way back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. And we saw it also with the husbands in 3:7, you husbands in the same way. But when we go back to chapter 2, verse 13, we see that it says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, And then we skip down again. This is Peter dealing with these believers that were being persecuted. They were going through great bouts of suffering at the hands of the government. 1 Peter 2:18 says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable." And then Peter shows why in verses 18 to 19 that righteous suffering brings glory to God when we suffer for Him, when we suffer righteously. So here in 1 Peter, we have these different groups that are told to submit to authorities. We have people to human institutions. We have servants to masters. And of course, everyone, we're taught, is to follow Christ. So you see this road of submission here that we got going that Peter's kind of paving here. So in the same way that husbands must submit to God's will, as Christ submitted to the Father's will, and remember, Christ submitted to the Father's will, what was the extreme? Death. Death on a cross. So you wives must submit to and obey God and fulfill His position and plan for you as a wife. And of course, Jesus Himself is our greatest example of this, of submission, especially in regards to submitting to the Father's will for crucifixion, submitting to His Father's will for death, and therefore His submission to even unjust and despotic rulers. Because Christ, in going to the cross, submitted Himself to these people that were ruling over Him and making these decisions, be it the Jewish leaders or be it Pontius Pilate. And remember that along with Christ's submission to these evil men, when Peter is talking about submitting to every human institution and to kings here in 1 Peter, meaning the governing authorities over the people, the government of the day was wicked. It was evil. It was in many ways worse than what we have today. If you were to say that about our government in any sort or fashion or some of the other governments in the world. I mean, there was blatant persecution. We might have persecution sometimes is kind of under the radar, or in other countries there's major, very outward persecution. But back then, it was wicked and evil. And yet still, Peter tells all of these different groups of people, you still need to submit to your government. And we said, yes, unless the government would ask you to sin. Then all bets at that point are off. We're never to sin against God. And as well, Peter points out that slaves are to submit to their masters, but not just good masters, not just masters that are treating their slaves well, but even those that are unreasonable. The word there being crooked or perverse. And why? Again, as we see, because righteous suffering finds favor with God. It brings glory to God. And you know, again, what's interesting about the submission issue is that most people don't have a problem with submission as long as things are going well. If things are going reasonably well, then it seems to be okay. If the person or group or company that you are submitting to is treating you right and they're treating you fairly, then it's fairly easy to willingly submit to them. You know, think about it. You're at work and your boss does everything at work on the up and up. You know, they pay you on time, they give you a good wage, they give you vacation time and maybe even good health care. There's a nice retirement package for you. Your boss never asks you to lie or cheat to help the company. They give you bonuses. Maybe they just generally encourage you and make you feel appreciated. How do you react to a boss like that? Most people work their socks off for them, you know? You want to please a boss that takes care of his employee in that sense. You submit to them quite willingly. And yet what we hear from Peter, and we've heard it from Paul, and we've also seen it in the life of Christ, is that even when things are bad, we still have to submit to those in authority over us. So if you have a boss that tries to squeeze every last, you know, peace out of you and doesn't give you overtime and doesn't give you insurance and doesn't give you vacation or a retirement package and they love to scream and yell and they offer no encouragement or appreciation to it, as long as you're still under contract or you're still accepting that job, then you need to submit to them. Or like I said, if you have the option to quit and you decide that that's what you want to do, that's fine. But quitting is not an option when it comes to marriage. It's not an option. The Bible doesn't say wives submit to your husbands if they are loving you the way they should, if they are sacrificially giving of themselves for you, if they are growing you spiritually and cherishing and nourishing you and honoring you and living with you in an understanding way, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say, wives, submit to your husbands if they are your snuggle bunny and they shower you with kisses and they give you tons of kindness and gifts and they take you on long romantic walks and they open up the scriptures to you and they pray with you and they help you around the house and they give you foot massages because you've been on your feet all day long and they give you quality talk time with you when you get to talk about your feelings and he just sits there and listens with great interest. It doesn't say that's when you submit. When you are getting those things, sure, they would be nice. Sure, that's, some of what the husband is called to do. And this would be easy, and most women wouldn't mind submitting to a husband like this. They wouldn't even have to probably think twice about it. And this is God's design. This is His design. If both husband and wife are living up to God's pattern for their marriage, and they are fulfilling what He commands them to do as husband, as wife, guess what, gang? Your marriage is going to be one giant ice cream sundae with whipped cream, nuts, and a cherry. It will. That's God's plan. That's His desire. He wants us to have great marriages, fulfilling marriages, loving marriages. That is His plan. An awesome marriage. And you can have that if both parties are doing what God tells them to do. But what if that's not the way your husband is treating you? Do you still have to submit to him? Yes. The Bible says you do. God says that you do. And you see, this is where things start to go kind of south regarding submission and how we feel about it. Because a lot of wives have that line drawn where they figure they don't have to submit anymore. Where they might even think, well, God certainly doesn't expect me to submit to my husband. He's a drunk. Or he's into pornography, or he's oppressing, or he orders me around and he tells me what to do, or he belittles me, or he doesn't respect me, or he isn't acting or behaving in a godly way. He treats me like a slave or a servant. And no, I don't expect you to submit to somebody like that. God does. God does. He not only expects it, He commands it. Now, I'm going to say one little thing here, and this kind of would take us into a whole other can of worms, but I think it needs to be said so that nobody's thinking or questioning, well, what about the husband that he's being physically abusive? He is hurting somebody. No, no wife is to stay with somebody who is being physically hurt. We would go back to the scriptures and see that God has number one priority on life. Life means just much to God. And certainly, when somebody's life like that is, they're being physically abused. No, I would say if somebody came into my office and said that, I'd say, well, then yes, you need to be apart from your husband for a while. Or it could be that the police need to step in, if that was the case. Absolutely. So we're not talking about that kind of abuse, okay? Sometimes we have to submit, and it's not always fun, however. Was it fun for Christ to be beaten, tortured, humiliated, crucified at the hands of wicked men? Yet he submitted to the Father's will, and also he submitted to those wicked men. And we submit to those in authority, not because the authority is right, or the authority is honorable, or just, or even loving. We submit to them in order that we would honor God. That we would please God, bring glory to God. And wives, if you are one of those women who has come up with sometimes excuses as to why you don't have to submit to your husband. Maybe you think you've kind of found that loophole. Sometimes we look for that loophole to get out of it. Well, you just need to stop. You need to stop. Stop the excuses and stop the loopholes and admit to God that ultimately you're refusing to obey God. Because that's what it comes down to. So let me ask you this. Is there ever a time, or you might be thinking this, is there ever a time when you don't have to submit to your husband? Well, we talked about that time, obviously, if somebody's life, your physical body is he's abusing you, then, no, we need to get you in a safe place, obviously. But the biggest reason to not submit to your husband, and it's the same thing with the husbands loving their wives, or excuse me, not husbands loving their wives, in terms of a government or submitting to a government, or if there are a time in a government when we don't have to submit, if we're asked to sin, if we're asked to sin against God, a husband cannot ask a wife to submit to him and sin against God. That would be absolutely wrong. And again, all bets are off. If he says, don't go to church, you say, sorry, honey, I need to go to church. If he says, you know, you're not to read your Bible. I'm not allowing you to read your Bible. Then, yes, you do read it, ladies. If he tells you you don't serve in the church, then you serve. And you tell him that you're doing these things because you're commanded in the Scriptures to do these things. Well, what if he asks you to fudge things on your income tax form? Mm-mm. Rob a bank because you need the money. Or to break some other kind of law. No, absolutely, you don't do it. Right? You're not to break a law. That would also be sinning against God. And it's interesting how Peter deals with the extent of submission. You might think, well, okay. Well, Peter, look back at the text of 1 Peter 3:1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your husbands. Okay? And this is talking about here in terms of the intimacy of marriage, one man, one woman. It's not talking about being submissive to all men. It's talking about specifically your husbands. So that, now here's the kicker, even if any of them are disobedient to the word. So if you want to test the truth of something, you want to test the substance even of a truth, we take that truth to the extreme and we see how it works out, okay? And that's just what Peter does here. He takes submission to the extreme in order to show the extent of a wife's submission. You are to submit, it says, even to disobedient husbands, meaning husbands that are unbelievers, husbands that are not following the word of God. And that is an amazing statement that he makes here. And yet God has a reason for this. Look at what he says next. That they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. So he's saying the extent of this submission is even if you have a wife who is a believer and a husband who is an unbeliever, you're still to submit to this husband who's being disobedient to God. But there's this reason that the husband might be won. God chooses to win some husbands to Christ based on the wife's behavior. This is an incredible thing. That as husbands see their wives behaving in a chaste, meaning a pure in thought, pure in deed kind of way, and a respectful way. Respectful meaning not because even that the husband deserves it, but because God commands it. Then God may use this living, godly testimony of the wife to open up her husband's eyes to the gospel. That's it. It's astounding. And notice the other thing that a wife is to do here or not do. Win her husband without a word. Without a word. She's not to nag him. She's not to badger him. She's not to constantly tell him that he's being disobedient to God and that he'd better shape up and start treating her right. She's not to try and drag him to church all the time. She's not to hide the gospel tracts in his favorite magazine, stick it in his Field and Stream or his Auto Mechanics or whatever, hoping he's going to see this. She's not to leave Bibles on his nightstand or write Bible verses and stick them in his pockets. She's not to change all the radio stations in his truck to Christian ones, you know, or load up his CD player with sermons so he turns it on and he gets blasted. Instead, the Scripture says that he will be won by observing her, living out a godly life in front of him, which especially includes her chaste and respectful submission to him. This is how God will open his eyes so that he can then believe the gospel. Because it's not talking about salvation. That we know that you're saved certainly by the gospel. And maybe she'll be the one that gets to share the gospel with him. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we're to live our lives letting our light shine before men that they might see those good works, see those good deeds. And then in 1 Peter, even prior in 2:12, he says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, meaning unbelievers, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. So again, our good deeds may lead us to people wanting to know more about those good deeds and why you're doing them, and you'll have an opportunity to share the gospel. One pastor said, quote, "A lovely, gracious, and submissive attitude is the most effective evangelistic tool believing wives have." So if you're in a situation like that, a believing wife with an unbelieving husband, you're to live out your faith in front of them, but to do it without a word. I have a friend who's a pastor who told me the story of a couple in the church that told him the story after the fact. And it was a wife, and he said that she was a pretty staunch, hardcore feminist, and married to her husband, and they did everything separate in terms of separate bank accounts. They had separate jobs. Each one worked, and everything was separate that way, and they kind of did their own thing in many ways. And then the wife gets saved and comes to know Christ, and she starts changing things in her life, and she starts to submit to her husband. She didn't even really tell him what was going on or why she was doing it, and she started kind of handing things back to him. And she, you know, gave back the bank account kind of thing and said, "Honey, I've deposited all my money in your account, and I want you to take the lead and go ahead and, you know, manage the account for us." And his mouth kind of hit the floor like, "Huh?" And she just slowly started doing these different things where she was bringing herself more in line with this biblical concept of submitting to her husband. And the husband knew that she had become a Christian and that she was going to church, and he wasn't not allowing her to go to church or anything like that. And this went on for some time until finally the husband one day, without his wife ever saying a word, said, "I'd like to go to church with you this morning." And he went to church, and he told this pastor friend of mine that initially he went to church because he wanted to see what was going on that was brainwashing his wife. And so it was kind of a little more with an attitude like, "I'm going to go see what kind of wackiness is going on at this place that she's getting brainwashed like this." And so he goes to church and said he kind of sits there with his arms folded and just kind of, you know, looking back at everything, just kind of on the outside looking in kind of deal. And ends up hearing the gospel message, and he himself gets saved that very day. And all of that happened without her speaking a word about it to him. It was just by her chaste and respectful behavior and her submission to her husband. And it's not always easy to submit to a husband who is an unbeliever, for one being disobedient to the word. It might not be easy to submit to a husband who is a believer, but hasn't really been leading and loving his wife the way God calls him to. And maybe he never really knew what the Bible said about such things, or maybe he's been lazy, or maybe he's just been flat out disobedient. And maybe it's difficult for some of you gals to submit because you tend to have that, you know, leading personality, or maybe you've had occasions or experiences in your life where you had to take the lead. Or maybe you've believed the lie of the world and the evil one that wives are to be the co-leaders with their husbands. But regardless of the category that you fall into, the Bible is clear. God is clear that you are to subject yourselves to and submit to your husband. You have to do it. Just like we told husbands, they have to do it. They have to love their wives, sacrificially give themselves up for, nourish them, cherish them, wash them with the word. They have to do this, and so do you. And God makes it clear by giving us this extreme example in 1 Peter of a wife submitting to even an unbelieving husband. And as well, we'll see in our text next week that you also have to do it with a gentle and quiet spirit. So in our wrap-up application time, I kind of just switched a lot of the roles around here. It's much the same for the wife as it was for the husband. But I would start off by saying, you know, if you're not a Christian, that's the first priority. You need to become a Christian. You need to know that Christ died for your sins. That instead of you on that cross and you receiving death and eternal life in hell, that He is calling you to repent and believe. That Christ died for your sins. He rose from the dead so that you could have eternal life. And you need to turn away from your sin and follow Christ. And when you do that, oh man, the burdens come off, you know where you're going at the end of your time, and God then gives His Holy Spirit to live inside of you and allows you to start living out these biblical roles of husband and wife. And two, maybe you're an unmarried woman, even a youth, who thinks one day that maybe you might get married. Well, if that's the case, you need to know these things, and you need to start putting things into practice, and especially good spiritual disciplines, and even submission. How could a young girl be practicing submission? She already is in many ways for those that have, say, a dad in their life, in submitting to their fathers, to their dads. Three, wives. All of you need to examine your marriage and yourself. And you need to ask yourself, am I submitting to my husband? It's just an easy question. Am I submitting to him even when I don't agree? Or even when I don't like it? Am I only submitting as long as he's being a good leader? Or as long as he's leading in a godly way? And if you're not, then you'd want to confess that to God. And you'd want to confess it to your husband. And you'd want to start working on it. Start doing it. Start putting things into practice. Couples, you need to openly talk about these things. And you need to come up with a plan for change if that's what you need. And lastly, husbands, pray for your wives. Just like I asked the wives to pray for you, pray for your wives. Be patient with your wives. Husbands, give your wife a reason to want to submit to you and your leadership. Give her a reason for her to respect your leadership. And do this by loving her, by leading her in a godly way. But wives, if this doesn't happen, you still need to obey God. And if you have any more questions, you can come to the marriage class tonight, all right? 6 o'clock, let's pray. Father, thank you for these words of truth, God. And Lord, I thank you that we don't rely on the teachings of men. We don't rely on what the world tells us that it thinks to be right. We don't rely on just some kind of inner feeling that we have, Lord. We rely on your word. Because your word is true and it is everything we need for life and godliness, including how to have a godly marriage. And Lord, it's very clear on the matter of wives and needing to submit to their husbands, as it was clear on husbands loving their wives. And so God, I just pray that you would help all of those that are here to just take these truths to heart, to examine hearts and examine marriages and see if there does need to be some changes, God. Help us all to do things in a godly and biblical way. And Lord, knowing that we'll reap the fruits. We will reap the benefits and blessings that you have for those that are obedient to you. And Lord, if there is any here today that need to know Christ as their Savior, as the Lord of their life, I pray that they might cry out to you, call out to you right now as we're praying ourselves. And say, Lord Jesus, yes, I need to repent. I need to turn away from my sin and follow you. And let them walk out if you're a changed person and somebody who can just live rightly according to your word and what it means to be a godly husband or a godly wife. We pray these things in your Son's name.